Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning was just the first 10 verses of Luke chapter 15. And being a pastor, of course, I looked at the rest of the chapter, and what you heard this morning was two parables. And the rest of the chapter is a third parable, a very familiar one. The remainder of Luke 15 is the parable of the prodigal son. And I always wonder about that when they select the readings. How did they select this parable plus that parable but left that one out, right? And doesn't your brain right away think, well, what was the rest of the text, right? And so I did look at it. It is the parable of the prodigal son. Now, the other question that flows from that when they left one out is, well, maybe that appears elsewhere in the appointed readings. And the answer is, it does. It appeared on Lent 4. And not only is it read on Lent 4, I actually preached on it on March 30th. So I'm not going to dwell on a lot, but it is in this chapter, and so I want to look at it a little bit. I think everybody's very familiar with that parable, one of the most familiar parts, I think, of Holy Scripture. So not in depth, but I'm not going to read all the text, but I want us to go into this. A wealthy man had two sons, and the younger son was rebellious and wanted to go his own way. And so he said to the father, give me my inheritance right now. And he went to a distant country and he spent all of it in totally wild living. And when he was at the bottom of his barrel, he came to his senses and he said, I've got to go back home. And what did the father do? Receive him. It's a wonderful message. But that's not the only son, that's the younger son. There's also an older son, and the older son is the one you and I would call the good kid. He stayed home, he worked his father's fields. But when the younger son came back, the older son was angry. He was angry that his father received him, and he voiced displeasure at his father, including mischaracterizing the way he'd been raised. Now, I want us to hear a couple messages from that familiar and frankly wonderful part of Scripture. The first thing is this: there are two types of people. You've heard many a times, there's lots of lists that say there's two types of people. According to the parable of the prodigal son, there's two types of people. Here they are. One of them is overtly rebellious. He's in your face rebellious. He's, I don't subscribe to your values, I went out of here, that kind of rebellious. But I want to be careful here. The older son is quietly rebellious. He, in fact, rejects the love of his father. He has lived a life of merely external obedience. And everybody in town thought he was the good kid, but when times got tough, it boiled out. So I want us to hear that. There's two types of people. There's the overtly rebellious, there's the quietly rebellious. And this is the second point. They're both lost. Apart from the love and the mercy of the Father, both of them are lost. And we need to hear that. Because in the old days, in the old Bibles, you know how they often have Bible section headings, the old Bibles would say the parable of the prodigal son. My newer translation says the parable of the lost son. And that's wrong. It should be called the parable of the lost sons. They're both lost, except for this. If there's two types of people and they're both lost, the third point is that Jesus wants all to be saved. The mercy of the Father extends to both types of kids. And the fact that there's two types of people in the parable mirrors the fact that there's two types of people in the text itself. This is in your bulletin. Notice Luke 15, verse 1, and then verse 2. And it lists the two types of people. It says, first group, tax collectors and sinners. That's the younger son That's the overtly rebellious. Second group, Pharisees and teachers of the law. That's the older son. Jesus tells that parable to both of them. And by the way, I want us to notice something. You hear me in many sermons say, watch the verbs, right? I'm going to say it again. Watch the verbs. The verbs are the action things, the doing stuff, the way we live. So I want us to notice the verbs. First group, tax collectors and sinners. What's the verb that goes with them? They gathered around Jesus. The younger sons, getting their rebellion, have come to the Lord. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, it's in the text. What's their verb? They muttered. They grumbled against Jesus. And Jesus wants both to be saved because he's speaking to all. And by the way, this congregation has older sons and younger sons, right? And Jesus is saying to all of them, I want you to hear these parables and I want everyone to be saved. Now, that's that wonderful parable. There's three parables. I just looked at the third. We'll do the second one. We'll do them backwards. Parable of the lost coin. I'm going to tell you right up front what it's about. And it's kind of shocking, almost annoying, but here's the point. The Bible takes a low view of mankind's spiritual capability. And I need us to hear that. The Bible takes a low view of our spiritual capability. The reason I say that is that if you ask people today, what is religion? Most people will say religion is man's search for God. That's exactly backwards. True religion is God searching for us. And when we search out God, apart from his inspired word, we come up with perversions. We need to hear that. The true religion has come from God to us, and every once in a while, people begin to think, apart from the Bible, how will we be right with God? And mankind has come up with the most bizarre pagan practices ever. When you study what goes on in human history, you'll see things that God is saying, I never commanded anything like that. So apart from the work and the mercy of God, we come up with bizarre paganism. Or nowadays, we have an even more sophisticated error. We have come up with the self-help seminar. Right? That's the modern doctrine. Is the truth is within you. And if you would just be a little better, the Bible never says that. The Bible never says the truth is within you. The Bible says that all sorts of error and foolishness is in there. Now, you might say, Pastor, well, where are you getting that from this text? Here it is. Parable of the lost coin. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. So here's a fun thing. A parable, right, is earthly elements making a spiritual point. The woman stands in the place of God. I'm not going to say a lot about that, but it's an image God chose here to depict himself as a role of this woman. And the woman has lost a coin. So who's the coin? Us. Now here's the thing. When I say the Bible has a dim view of human spiritual capability, here's what I mean. A coin is an inanimate object. Right? You're detecting that? Well, I'll ask it this way. Is the coin going to find itself? Is the coin going to take itself back to the owner? No. Make sense? In Ephesians 2, verse 1, Paul says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Now, I want us to hear this. You were what? Dead. What does dead mean? It means dead, right? The Bible does not say you were wounded in your sins, and weak though you might be, if you do your best, God will save you. That's not what it's saying. It's saying you were dead. And if a corpse can't raise itself, neither can you do anything. Now, Paul doesn't end there. He says, as for you, you're dead in your transgressions and sins. Next words, in which you used to live. Isn't that wonderful? Past tense. And then he goes on to this. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Right? We were dead, and God has made us alive with Christ. Parable of the prodigal son. The younger son has come home. They throw a party. The older son doesn't want to go on. I want us to catch this. The father says to the older son, we have to rejoice and celebrate because this brother of yours was, anybody know? He was what? Was dead. Was dead. It's in the text. No. Parable of the lost coin, parable of the lost sheep. Now here's the thing. You say, well, okay, a coin is an inanimate object. I'm going to say, wait a minute, Pastor Walt. A sheep is not an inanimate object, right? Are you ready for some bad news? That's worse. The coin at least isn't actively rebelling. What does a sheep do? It wanders away. It actively rejects. So the Bible is saying we do not have spiritual strength. But here's the answer. And this is what these texts are about. All three parables about this. We have a God who searches for us. That was your Old Testament lesson this morning. Way, way back, Ezekiel. First words of the Old Testament lesson, I myself will search for you. It's all over the Bible. I will search for you. The parable of the lost coin, the coin has no spiritual power in itself. So it says about the woman, doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Right? Here's the beauty of it. When she finds the coin, she throws a party that would have cost her more than the value of the coin. The Bible's letting you know that your God is extravagant in his love. He's not doing the math. She'll search carefully. The parable of the lost sheep. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? You see what the Bible is saying? The nature of God is that he wants to save us and he actively pursues us. He searches, he looks for us. Now, I was thinking I could just leave that right there, but I wanted to sort of flesh this out a little bit. How is it that God searches? And I want to list a couple things. Is God active in the world? Is he looking? Here's some things. The most frequently printed book in the world is the Bible. The Hartford Institute says there are 370,000 churches in the United States. You should be able to find one of them. Well, you guys have, right? If you check into a hotel, what's there? A Gideon's Bible. The person who has spoken live and in person to people, I'm not talking about how many internet followers does somebody have, the person who has spoken to more people live and in person than anyone ever in history is Billy Graham. The person about whom more books have been written than anyone is Jesus the Christ. These days, there are many Bible apps for your phone, and most are free. Believe it or not, there are theologically valid memes shared on Facebook. There's also a lot of nonsense shared on Facebook. You have to discern. There are many denominations in the world, and I'm not sure that that's God's intent, but I do know this, he works through all things. And so the reality is, you should be able to find the flavor that's yours. I don't think it's God's intent, but I do think it's where it is. And this, if you're an unbeliever, there are people in your family praying for you, not to be judgmental, but because they want to spend eternity with you in heaven. Right? Does God search? I think he does. I want to close with a couple of comments. It was hard to write a sermon this week. The news in our nation this week is so disturbing and disheartening and tear-jerking and even angering and all of that. And you see what's going on in the world. And whether you're one of the older sons or one of the younger sons, we are saying to God, Lord God. Additionally to the news, and the stuff in the news is going on, many of you know my family personally has battled a particular hardship in recent weeks. And you say, my God, what is going on? I'm not giving away any secrets to say I'm an older son. You won't be surprised to know that. The older son is not sinless. The good kid, good grades. I'm a pastor. But in my head and heart, I have doubts too. And I have been angry. And I have said, Lord God, are you going to act? Do you see why these parables are in the Bible? Whether you are an older son or a younger son, however you've been experiencing everything that's going on, whatever is going on, I want us to catch this. The message of Luke 15 is that we have a God who searches us out. Wherever we are, if it's overt rebellion, if it's quiet rebellion, if it's doubts, your God is searching you. Your God is searching for you. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.